That was a quick two verses. Okay. This morning, talking about Saul and David and Jonathan and David's son that passed away after 7 days, made mention in 1 Samuel 23 where David had a visit from Jonathan. And when Jonathan found David, David was not on his throne. He was not king at this time. David was in the wilderness. It became pretty clear and plain that Saul was not going to stop until he had slain David. And we find the Bible telling us, though, that God delivered him not into Saul's hand, but rather the opposite. He continuously delivered him out of his hand. But while David was in the wilderness, dens and caves, there was a certain place where Jonathan found him. When Jonathan found him, the Bible says again that Jonathan strengthened his hand in the Lord. I want to think about that verse for a little bit this afternoon and some things that go along with it, because we all need strength, I believe, every day we live. We live in a world of opposition to Christianity. We live in a world in which, God and the name of God is beginning to fade away in so many places where once it was spoken of without fear. They want to take God out of the courthouse, God out of the schoolhouse, God out of Congress, God off our money, and everything else. There's no place in the world for the Lord. Never has been, really. And now we begin to see how the wicked and the evil just hate the Lord and hate disciples of the Lord and the Word of the Lord. And so this world can be a very tough place to live in, and we can get beat down, and we certainly need strength. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 1:8, he said, "I will not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning our trouble in Asia." He says, "How that we were pressed above measure and above strength, even so much that we despaired even of life." Well, what did Paul do when they went through that kind of experience? Now, it's the difference between being without strength and above strength. I might say something about that in a moment. But in this occasion, Paul says they were above strength. They were pressed out of measure, above strength, even where they despaired even of life. He said, "But we had the sense of death within ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God that raiseth the dead." That's where our strength is. Now, we find when Jonathan come to David that he strengthened him with the following words. He said, "David, fear not." He says, "My father shall not find thee." Well, I'm sure that was encouraging to David, that Jonathan would give him that kind of report. He says, "Fear not, David, my father shall not find thee." Says, "Ye shall be king over Israel, and I'll be next unto thee." Now, here's another statement of Jonathan that tells what kind of man Jonathan was. Jonathan was going to be satisfied with being number two. See, generally speaking, if your father was king and your father passed off the scene of life, something happened, you would take his place. The oldest son would take the place of the king. But King Saul destroyed his life to such an extent that God is going to do things differently. And Jonathan is not going to follow his father Saul to the throne. He's not going to be king. And Jonathan sees that, recognizes that. And that's okay with Jonathan. I don't think that was something Jonathan coveted to begin with. So he tells David, says, "Fear not." He says, "The hand of my father," he says, "shall not find thee." He says, "You shall be king, and I shall be next unto you." So Jonathan strengthened the hand of David in God. For Jonathan to tell David that the hand of his father Saul would not find him is simply telling David that you have the assurance that God in his providence is going to take care of you. God in his providence is going to protect you and deliver you. And I need that assurance every day that I live. I believe you do. And we can be helpers of one another in this way to remind each other that God cares for us and loves us. There is not a sparrow that falls to the ground without the knowledge of God the Father. He knows the very hairs on our head. Peter says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Now, you hear that in church, but sometimes you need to be reminded of that on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday. And we can do that by picking up the telephone or writing a card or sending an email to somebody to just remind them of God's mercies and God's grace and God's power and God's love for them. And that will strengthen us. There's different ways that God strengthens his people. Now, first of all, let's get in our mind that God himself is strength. This is a title of God that actually Samuel tells Saul in 1 Samuel 15. When Saul disobeyed the Lord and brought back Agag, the king of the Amalekites, Samuel tells Saul that God is going to take the kingdom away from him. He's rent the kingdom from you. He's going to give it to another man. He says, for the strength of Israel, talking about God, for the strength of Israel, spelled with a capital S, for the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent. So if God has said he's going to take the kingdom's going to be taken from you. God is a God of truth and without iniquity. God cannot lie. So if God said it, it's going to come to pass. And God shall not repent. In other words, God is not going to turn from what he's just stated here. He's going to take the kingdom away from you. But notice here how he is brought to the attention of Saul. He says, the strength of Israel shall not lie, neither shall he repent. Here's a picture of this strength given to us in Isaiah 63:1. When the question is asked, who is this that comes up from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? It says, he that's glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. Now, that certainly could not be me or you. It can only be one. That's God himself in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was truly glorious in his apparel. He came here in flesh and blood, but he was sinless. He was perfect, in his life here. He was glorious in his apparel. And he came traveling in the greatness of his strength. Jesus Christ, when he lived here, in his humanity and his divinity, was still omnipotent in his divinity, okay? In his humanity, we find where the Lord even sent angels from time to time. And when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, we find in Luke chapter 22, where the Lord is praying, and he prays three times to the Father, be thy will, let this cup pass, if not, thy will be done. And after the third time of praying about that, the Bible says an angel came down from heaven strengthening him. Now, if Jesus Christ needed to be strengthened, from heaven, and apparently he did, if he needed to be strengthened, then certainly I need to be strengthened, and you need to be strengthened. And so Jesus was strengthened after that Gethsemane experience by an angel that came down from heaven. And the next verse tells us the intensity of the situation at the time, for it says, for he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He prayed in such agony that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, showing the intensity of the trial. But he went through the trial and made it through the trial because an angel from God came down and strengthened him. The angel represented strength. That is, God, who is strength, sent an angel to strengthen his son here in his experiences when he's going through the trial, the Gethsemane trial, on the way to Calvary. So I shouldn't be surprised when I need to cry out and say, Lord, give me strength. I need to be strengthened on a daily basis. One of the verses that, I think about and quote quite often, encourage God's people to keep in mind, is Philippians 4:13, when Paul says, we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. He didn't say we can do all things through Christ that strengthened, E-D, us. That would be true, but it's not an E-D. It's an E-N-E-T-H. We can do all things. It's all things God expects us to do, commands us to do, has laid out for us to do. We can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. That means that is a regular, perpetual, continuous, daily strengthening that we can receive from the throne of grace. So Paul tells us, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So God is able to strengthen us each and every day that we live. One of the great promises of prayer is found in Isaiah 41:10, when the prophet representing the Lord said, fear not, says, I am thy God. Be not dismayed, for I will be with you. Says, I will strengthen you, and I will uphold you. Now, we don't have to fear because God said, I am your God. We don't have to fear because the one who says, I am your God, also says, I will strengthen you, and I will uphold you. So we got one who came traveling the greatness of his strength, who is known as strength personified, promising to give us strength in our daily trials, in our daily living. David needed to be strengthened, apparently, in his experience here, as he had been fleeing from the hand of Saul for some time. Jonathan, his good friend. Now, we need to consider strengthening one another. To do that, we have to think about it. To do that, we have to think about one another. We have to think about some of the things that we know some of our brothers and sisters in the Lord may be going through. It could be various things, of course. And we need to reach out. We need to strengthen one another by simply reminding each other, again, that God is omnipotent. And God loves us and God cares for us. And God has the power to bring us through a trial, bring us through a difficult time, to help us bear the burden, whatever it might be that we might be going through at any particular time. God is able to do that. Reminded of the experience of Elijah found in 1 Kings chapter 19. At this point, Elijah has fled into the wilderness because of a threat from a wicked woman named Jezebel. Elijah just had a glorious mountaintop experience where for the second time he's prayed for a miracle, and a miracle took place. He prayed, first of all, it would not rain. It didn't rain. And now 3.5 years down the road, after no rain, he prays it will rain. And God sent rain. He sent an abundance of rain when he was on top of Mount Carmel. Told his servant, he says, go and tell me what you see. And he went out and looked over the Mediterranean Sea. He came back and said, I see nothing. And he told him to go again. He went 6 times, saw nothing, but on time number 7. When he came back, he said, I see a little cloud like a man's hand. Elijah told him and Ahab to get down from the mountain. Says, for I hear the abundance of rain, get down from the mountain, that the rain hinder thee not. What a glorious experience that must have been. And this also is right after he saw fire come down from heaven and consume the offering on the altar there, where the false gods of Baal had cried to their God, you know, for that to happen. It never happened, but we find Elijah praying one time and God sends fire down from heaven and consumes the offering. Now rain comes after having rained for 3.5 years, and Elijah prays. But Jezebel issues out a warning, a statement. She said, about this time tomorrow, your life will be like that of the false prophets which had been slain. Now, if I didn't read any further than that, I'd have probably thought, well, I know what Elijah's going to do. Elijah's just going to brush it off. Elijah is certainly not going to be intimidated by this woman here after all these experiences that he had. But it's amazing to me, including my own experience, how I know how the Lord has dealt with me, how the Lord has brought me along, how the Lord has delivered me miraculously time and time and time again. And then I face a new trial, and it seems like I just lose memory of all of that. I just lose memory of it. You'd have thought Elijah would have stood strong, but he didn't. He fled into the wilderness. And he sits on a juniper tree, and he says, Lord, he says, it'd be good for me to die. And then he slept. I'm glad God doesn't answer all our requests like we ask him. I'm glad he doesn't answer our prayers every time the way we phrase them. If he did, he'd have struck Elijah dead. But he didn't do that. Elijah falls asleep. To what did God do? He has mercy on Elijah. He sends an angel, and the angel bakes a cake over here and then provides a cruse of water and wakes Elijah up. Says, rise and eat. Elijah arose and he ate of that cake and drank of that water. And the angel tells him, says, The journey is too hard for thee. The journey is too hard for thee. Well, Elijah went to strengthen that meat and that drink for 40 days. That wasn't ordinary water. That wasn't an ordinary cake. I can assure you that was baked on that occasion there. God gave Elijah strength to go 40 days and the strength of that one simple meal. Very simple meal. Water. A cake baking over here. With that one simple meal, Elijah is going to get enough strength to go 40 days to Mount Horeb, where he's going to have a meeting with God. Now, God can do the miraculous. God gives us strength when we're in our times of weakness. We may feel like we're so weak. And you know, weakness can be physically or spiritually. Okay? Physically or spiritually. You go to Acts chapter 9. Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus, after that Damascus Road experience, after he has that meeting with Ananias, well, Ananias calls him Brother Saul, and he had the scales, you know, it had been on his eyes for 3 days. He went 3 days without anything to eat. The Bible says the scale fell from his eyes, and it says he took and ate some meat and was strengthened. That was real meat that strengthened him physically. All right, but you go about 3 verses later, and it says, then Paul was strengthened when he was preaching Christ in the synagogue, teaching that this was the very Christ. I believe he got 2 different types of strength there. First of all, Saul had gone 3 days without anything to eat. Now, if you went 3 days without anything to eat, you'd be weaker than you are right now. And Saul needed some strength physically. And then Saul needed some strength spiritually. Now, Christ, whom he had been persecuting, he now is going to preach. And he goes to Damascus. Instead of arresting God's people and taking them back to Jerusalem, putting them into jail, he now is going to preach the glorious gospel in Jesus Christ unto them. He needed strength, and so he was strengthened by God to be able to accomplish that purpose. So Paul received strength, I think, physically, and Paul received strength, I think, spiritually. Elijah went 40 days in the strength of a meal that God provided. God provided a meal. Elijah ate it, traveling the strength of that to Mount Horeb, where he had that experience in with God. I look over the 14th chapter in the book of Joshua, and I find after Israel has crossed Jordan's River and have taken the city of Jericho, that Caleb comes to Joshua to remind Joshua of a promise that was made him 40 years prior to that. When Caleb was 45 years old, Caleb and Joshua went into the land of Canaan as part of 12 spies and came back with a report that the land flowed with milk and honey. The land had great walled cities and giants, but they said, "We be well able to take the land." The 10 other spies said, "We be not able," convinced the Jewish people they couldn't do it, and caused them to go on a 40-year death march throughout the wilderness there. And Caleb and Joshua had to march right along with them. Caleb and Joshua had such great faith and courage they could take the land, had to go on a 40-year march themselves in that wilderness, but they're going to survive it. And now they cross Jordan's River and fulfill the promise that God gave them. Caleb says, "You promised me a mountain, Mount Hebron," which means fellowship. And now it's been 40 years. Caleb is now 85 years old. Caleb says, "I'm just as strong today as I was back then, and I can take this mountain." That mountain had some enemies on it that Caleb was going to have to defeat to take that mountain. But the mountain means fellowship, and he wanted that mountain of fellowship. And the Bible says that God is going to give it to him because he's holy, W-H-O-L-Y-L-Y, follow the Lord. In other words, Caleb was committed to the cause of Christ. Caleb was a committed follower of God. He said, "I'm just as strong now as I was then 40 years prior to that. Physically, I cannot say I'm as strong today as I was 20 years ago or 25 years ago. I'm just not. But on the other hand, I hope I'm just as strong today in other ways as I was 20 or 25 years ago. If the Lord is my strength when I was 25 and he's my strength today, then I'm just as strong today as I was 25 years ago or 30 years ago, whenever the time was." You understand what I'm saying? And the strength of Caleb when he was 40 years old was God, 45 years old. Now, 40 years down the road, he's 85. He's still wholly following the Lord. He was following the Lord wholly when he was 40. He's following the Lord wholly when he's 85. So he said, "I'm just as strong today as I was back then. I'm ready to conquer this mountain." Then he says, "If the Lord will be with me." See, that's always a testimony of servants of God. If the Lord will be with me, if it be the Lord's will, if the Lord will be with me, he said, "I can conquer the enemy on this mountain here, and Mount Hebron, the mountain of fellowship, shall be mine." And God blessed him at 85. I was thinking the other day, the ages of some of God's people when they did great exploits. How old was Moses when God called him to go down to the land of Egypt to bring his people out of there? He was 80. He was 40. When he was 40, he was strong in himself, but he wasn't strong in the way he needed to be. He was strong in himself, but he wasn't ready. So God's going to wait 40 more years till he's 80. 80 years old. And God appears to him on the backside of a desert, tells him to go back down to Egypt now. Now's the time to bring my people out of there at 80. I had an experience one time, this real young man, he's probably about 10, wanted to talk to me about joining the church. And so he wanted to go in my study. It was serious business. He didn't want to tell me in my den. He said, "Let's just go in the study over here." I said, "Okay, we're going to study." He said, "Now, when I was young," he said, "Now, when I was young," he's 10 years old now or something like that, "when I was young, so and so," you know. So sometimes I can say this, when I was younger, I'm young now, but when I was younger, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm young now, but when I was younger, you know, this is my experience. Caleb is 85. I'm just as strong today, he says, as I was back then. Moses is 80 years old. And I guess one of the lessons about that is this. You're never too old to be fruitful in the house of God. You're never too old to be strong in the house of God. Our strength is always the Lord, no matter what our age, no matter what we're going through. Our strength is always the Lord, whether you're 20, whether you're 40, whether you're 60, or whether you're 80. And Caleb recognized that. And we find Elijah recognized that. To be able to go 40 days in the strength of one meal, that's miraculous. That just doesn't normally happen. It was miraculous. Then I read in Hebrews chapter 11 about a woman by the name of Sarah. And without this account in Hebrews 11, I'd have a different outlook on Sarah. Because I read back in the book of Genesis when the Lord told Abraham and Sarah that she was going to conceive. Sarah was behind the tent door and laughed about it. And the Lord said, "Why does thou laugh, Sarah?" She said, "I didn't laugh." Then I've told you before, the Lord always gets it right. I can assure you, the Lord gets it right. The Lord knew she laughed. She's, "How can I, being old, well stricken in years, bring forth a son?" But Hebrews 11:11 says that Sarah, when she was old, through faith, Sarah, when she was old, conceived, being strengthened. She trusted the one who made the promise, was able to fulfill the promise. Sarah was strengthened by the Lord to conceive when she was 90 years old, bring forth a son when she was 90. She experienced a conception in her womb by a man that was 99. He's 100 years old when Isaac is born. God can do the miraculous. He can do the miraculous. Now, a while ago, I mentioned there's a difference between being without strength and above strength. In Romans 5:5, Paul says, when we were yet without strength. Now notice, Paul didn't say when you were without strength, when I was without strength. He says when we were without strength. Christ died for the ungodly. When it comes to our strength to save ourselves, we have none. No more than Israel had to be delivered out of the land of Egypt. When you come to Exodus chapter 15, after their miraculous deliverance out of across the Red Sea, when you start reading that song that Moses wrote, you'll find expression there like this: "The Lord is my strength. The Lord by his strength brought us out of Egypt. The Lord by his strength brought us across the Red Sea." So when we were yet without strength, what happened? Christ died for the ungodly. There's no strength in somebody's dead in trespass and sins. Strength is a term that would relate to the living. You know, somebody alive is either weak or they're strong, or they're stronger than they were, or they're not as strong as they used to be. It's an expression for the living, not the dead. Well, this verse here says, when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Died for us when we were sinners. For if when we were enemies of God, here Paul describes us by human nature as being the enemies of God, being without strength in the sight of God, being sinners in the sight of God. So Christ died for us. Christ died for our sins when we were yet without strength. Now, as God's children here, hopefully in the pathway of discipleship, we can get knocked down every once in a while. We can get discouraged, greatly discouraged from time to time. And we need to be strengthened by God, who is strength personified. Sometimes God just simply does it by himself. I mean directly. Sometimes he does it indirectly. You know, over in Psalms 104, verse 15, it says, there's oil to make the face shine. And it says, there is wine that makes the heart merry, and bread that makes the heart, that strengthens the heart. All right? He says, there's bread that strengthens the heart. There is wine that makes the heart merry, and there's oil that makes the face shine. When you study bread and wine and oil, you'll find three products right here that all three of these represent the benefits of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oil itself usually is symbolic of the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God is with a man, when the Spirit of God is with anybody, it just changes their entire complexion, changes their countenance. It makes the face to shine. I've seen people who stayed out of the church, and they stayed out of the church, and finally, they denied themselves and took up their cross and followed Christ in baptism and came into the church. And I'm telling you, their face looked totally different after they joined than it did before they joined. I have seen it. You can just tell a great difference. A great burden has been released. A great burden has been removed. Now they have a good conscience toward God. And whether they even realize it or not, their face just beams. Oil makes the face shine. And wine makes the heart merry. Yes, from a physical point of view, that is true. Wine does that. But you don't want your heart to get too merry. Paul says, drink a little wine, not a lot of wine. Drink a little wine for thy stomach's sake, not often infirmity. It's amazing how many people get sick about bedtime. It's amazing how many people start getting stomach ailments about bedtime. But whenever you have a stomach ailment, just remember it says, drink a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Apparently, Timothy was a frail, sickly individual. Apparently, he had stomach problems. Apparently, he had infirmities. So Paul tells him, he says, drink no longer water, but a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Well, I mean, we moved to Florida, and we was going to start looking for a house. Top priority was that water. Water can be pretty bad in Florida. So the first house we looked at in 1979 turned out to be the only house we looked at. One house only. I think Karen was afraid she wouldn't find another one had good water. But the first thing she did, walked in the house, she said, told the agent, I need a glass of water. He gave her a glass of water. She drank that. She said, okay, we looked at the rest of the house. If that water hadn't tasted good, we'd have turned around and went to house number two. But house number one was all we needed. The Lord directed, I believe, to that particular place. So symbolically speaking, you know, wine makes the heart merry in a good way. It stimulates. That's what wine is, a stimulant. And water refreshes you. And we need bread to strengthen our heart. You know, man, Christ told Satan, man, I shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But man does need bread. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the living bread that came down from heaven. And the living bread that came down from heaven will strengthen your heart for the trials of another day. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can make your face shine, make your heart merry, and it should stimulate us once again in the service of God. So we need to be strengthened. Paul writes over here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 to Timothy for him to bring it's wintertime, bring my coats, bring my cloak, and bring the books and bring the parchments. Paul's just got a short time to live. Great lesson in this. Because just before that, Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Time of my departure is at hand. Now, Timothy, when you come, bring my cloak and bring the books and bring the parchments. So apparently Paul had made up his mind, whether he had a year or a day, he was still going to study. He was still going to write. And by the way, he didn't want to be cold. Then he says, Alexander the coppersmith had done me much evil. I pray God to reward him according to his works. I believe when Paul prayed that prayer, Alexander was in trouble. He said, Alexander the coppersmith had done me much evil. I pray God to reward him according to his works. And beware also because he hath withstood our words. Can you imagine a man withstanding the words of the great apostle Paul or the minister of the gospel in Jesus Christ? Well, Alexander Coppersmith did so. But then Paul goes on to say, he says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. I've had experiences along the way when I believe it hadn't been for the good Lord, I wouldn't have made it. I mean, he just strengthened me directly. He just made himself known to me. He just intervened on my behalf and delivered me. When everybody else had forsaken me, Paul said, when I was all alone, no man stood with me. But he says, God stood with me and strengthened me. Now, there's strength in the gospel of Christ, there's strength in the fellowship of the saints of God. Attended a meeting like I just attended, Florida Fellowship meeting, when we have our annual meeting in May and our annual meeting in the fall. There's multiple benefits of those meetings. There's multiple reasons why we need to have those meetings. It's just a strength to the Lord's people to see others of like faith come and visit with us. See people you hadn't seen in months, maybe sometimes in years. I've been going to the Florida Fellowship meeting since 1974. Like I said, I missed 2 years since 1974. And this year was just like all the years. When I seen people I've known for years, but I hadn't seen them in a long time, just to see them, I was picked up, I was refreshed, I was revived. And then to enter into a worship service together and a hymn service together and hear the preaching of the gospel with different gifts from different parts of the country, it lifted me up, it strengthened my heart, it encouraged me. It made me feel like I still got a few more years to go, a little bit more fuel in the tank. Sometimes you feel like you see that needle getting toward the empty mark over there. And you know, like one of the preachers said, he just woke up the other day, not long ago, and he's not far from my age anyway. He says, I just thought about something. I thought, well, if I'm going to get anything done, I better get with it. And to be able to get with it, sometimes you need strength that you don't have within your own self. And God can give it to you directly and give it to you indirectly. He can give it to you through the saints of God and the house of God. It's where I get my main strength. Every single Sunday we meet here in the house of the Lord and see each other and can feel the very presence of Almighty God here and be reminded of the promises of God and be taught one more time the great truths of God's word, be reminded of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. When I leave here on those occasions, I'm much stronger than I was when I arrived. Now, I'm not as strong physically because preaching takes a lot out of you, I can assure you. I don't know who came up with it, but I'm certainly not going to argue with it, that 1 hour's preaching is equal to 8 hours of physical activity and physical work. I wouldn't argue with that at all. You know, when we decided to have these afternoon services, you know, I'm thinking, well, you know, it is kind of nice after the morning service to be able to go home and rest and relax a little bit and gather my thoughts, get a little rest, and come back for the evening service. But, you know, I like these afternoon services. I'll just be frank about it. I like these evening services. Physically, yeah, it'd be nice to have a little rest. But, you know, if the Lord bless us in the morning service, by the time we get in for the evening service, I'm still stirred up. You know, I'm ready to roll. I'm ready to go. I hope I am anyway. Maybe you got a different opinion. I don't know. But we need the strength of the Lord every day we live. We pray for strength. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, the apostle said in Ephesians chapter 6. Put on therefore the whole armor of God. You might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You can't stand against him in your own self. And Peter understood that, and the Lord understood that. In Luke chapter 22, the Lord comes to the apostle Peter and says, Peter, Satan had desired to have thee to sift thee as wheat. He's been, when thou art converted, go and strengthen the brethren, for I have prayed for thee. He says, Peter, Satan's after you. He wants to sift you as wheat. He wants to shake you. He wants to separate you. That's what sifting does. It separates, shakes and separates. Says Satan had desired to have thee to sift thee as wheat. But he says, nevertheless, I have prayed for thee. And when thou art strengthened, when thou art converted, you go and strengthen the brethren. Peter was a strength to the brethren not long after that because he was eyewitness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you study the book of Acts, 28th chapter in the book of Acts, the first 12 chapters of that book belong to the Apostle Peter. His life, his ministry, his labors. Then Paul, as Saul, comes along and finishes it on out to the end. God enabled the Apostle Peter to write 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And I'm going to tell you, when I read 1 and 2 Peter, I'm always strengthened. Peter still strengthened the disciples of Christ today. He still strengthened the Lord's people by his writings, being the human writer, writing by divine inspiration, of course. He strengthened the brother in that day. He's been strengthening the brother for about 20 centuries. He strengthens me. I trust he strengthens you when you read the life of the Apostle Peter and read his writings. So David was strengthened when Jonathan came and took him and strengthened in the hand of God. May we Try to strengthen one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, help one another. Remember this, I can't really help you much and strengthen you through the gospel if you're not here. Now you're here. You know, I got to remember to say that when the not here's are here. I remember years ago, you know, growing up in the church, it seemed like the preacher, when you get a little aggravated, I suppose, he would really let it all out. But the ones he'd let it all out to were the ones that didn't need it. They were there. So I got to try to wait till the ones that are not here's are here. And just remind them in a kind and loving way. What do you got, Brother Junior?